Your backyard should be an oasis, not a challenge. And your steel dealer has the tools to make it happen. By getting to know you and what you're trying to accomplish, they'll make sure you have the right tools to achieve your goals. From legendary gas to long-running battery tools, steel dealers have powerful equipment and advice you won't find anywhere else. Real steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com.
This is your new home speaking. I know you haven't moved in yet, but I need some favors. Could you dust the blinds? The dust makes me feel dusty. Also, we could save a lot of money if you bundled your home and car insurance with Geico. It's super easy to do online or over the phone. Last favor, when you move in, could you stick to one aesthetic? The last owner had a weird mix of floral wallpaper and nautical tchotchkes, and I can't have another identity crisis.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
I'm that Kamala Harris. I'll take cream in my coffee, please, kind of black. That Coretta Scott King, I have a dream black. That Cicely Tyson, blazing new paths for actresses black. That Pam Grier, I bust a cap in your ass black. I'm that Michelle Obama, standing strong and tall. I know I'm looking good kind of black. That Lauryn Hill and Queen Latifah, spitting fire from the hood kind of black. I'm that Nina Simone, Sade, Josephine Baker, Sarah Vaughan, sweet sound of jazz black. That Janet Jackson, curvy, beautiful brown, dancing my ass off black. That Nikki Giovanni, poem for a lady whose voice I like black. That faceless warrior holding up Black Lives Matter signs on the turnpike black. If you know me, then you know I'm that Angela Davis, braving bullets fighting for civil rights black. That Layla Ali, in the ring willing to fight black. That Madam C.J. Walker, laying it down, flicking it back kind of black. That Macy Gray and Erykah Badu, big ass afro black. I'm that Oprah Winfrey, making that change black. That Winnie Mandela, making a change black. I'm that Harriet Tubman, I'ma take my freedom any way I can black. That Sojourner Truth, ain't I a woman black? That Sister Rosetta Tharpe.
All right, everybody, welcome to The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson, and that was just a snippet of a poem called That Kind of Black by the guest that I have on the program. She is an award-winning poet, an author, songwriter, and motivational speaker out of Dayton, Ohio, and we're going to talk to her just a little bit about the latest projects that she's working on, also talk about some other things sports-related. Let's welcome her to the program, Lena Fields-Arnold. Hello, Lena. Welcome to the show. How's everything?
Hi, thank you for having me. Everything's phenomenal. How about you?
I'm doing well. Everything is phenomenal on my end. Thank you so much, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Before we get in delve deep into your upbringing and, of course, what you do as an author and as a poet and things of that nature, I want to start off with your practice into the martial arts. You practice a form of martial arts called Kuk-Sul-Won, which is has its origins in Korea. How did you first stumble upon the world of martial arts?
Well, it's always something I wanted to do growing up, and because, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, my parents were never really able to afford it. Actually, you know, I never even told them I was interested because I knew they couldn't afford it. So when my kids were old enough, I think my daughter was like 7, the boys were 5 or 6, somewhere along, I had been wanting to get them involved, and we were part of a homeschool group meeting at a church, and I started to notice there was a group of people practicing martial arts. So I asked them about it, and I said, well, I'll just enroll my kids. And I said, but, you know, I'm kind of interested in the instructor, who is still our instructor to this day, said, well, why don't you do it? And I said, I don't know. I'm kind of old. I mean, I was 45 at the time. And she said, well, I was 45 when I started. And I thought, really? She said, yeah. So I joined and have been doing it ever since and love it.
Awesome. Now, do you hold any special, like, classifications, like a black belt, a brown belt, or anything like that in the form of martial arts that you practice?
I am a first degree black belt working towards my second degree.
Awesome, awesome. Congratulations on that. When you started practicing in martial arts, what was the, I want to explain, can you explain to the listeners out there, like, what Kuk Su Wan is all about and what's the differences between Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu and things of that nature?
Sure. One thing I will say about any form of martial arts that anyone practices, it takes discipline. And I think it was, I don't know if it was IP Man or Bruce Lee, I can't remember which one said it, but he basically said that it's not about the practice, it's about the practitioner. And so whatever form that you do, if you're doing it with all your heart and all your soul and you're endeavoring to be the best, you will be the best. And so that's how I look at it. But Kuk Su Wan, as you stated earlier, is Korean martial arts. And one of the things that I like about it is it incorporates it originated from Korea, but even prior to that, out of China. So from China to Korea, and it incorporates joint techniques from Buddhist monks. It incorporates fighting techniques and from tribal people, you know, wanting to protect the tribe, forms, and of course weapons, which were a part of the royal family, protecting the royal family. So it has a little bit of everything in it, and that's what I really appreciate about it. My favorite is probably forms and swords. Love swords.
Okay, you know, excellent. Yeah, anything dealing with swords, and it's definitely it involves a lot of technique, and definitely you definitely have done your thing thus far. You're a first degree black belt in the art form. I want to stay just with you practicing that specific form of martial arts. Is it high impact, similar to like a Muay Thai or kickboxing? Is it high impact, or is it kind of like a combination of both high impact and low impact?
It's kind of a combination of both, and again, that's one of the things I really enjoy about it. And what I appreciate about the founder and my teacher, and I don't know, it's probably the same for all, but I can't speak to all, but I can speak to Kuk Su Wan specifically, because there are so many different aspects with regard to the joint locks and wrist techniques and the weapons and then the forms and sparring. Even if you can't master all of those, within that, no matter what level you are in terms of your physical ability, you can master something. So, for example, if you are struggling with weight, wrist and joint locks are really good because it doesn't require you to be in top physical shape necessarily. It doesn't require you to be skinny. It doesn't even necessarily require you to be super strong, because if you do the technique properly, the whole point of the technique is to be able to disarm an enemy or an attacker who is actually stronger than you. And so that's what I appreciate about it, because no matter where you are physically, there's something for you.
Awesome. How long have you been practicing the martial arts?
Oh, wow. Let's see. About 9 years. I would normally be at second or third degree, probably at that rate, but I had a lot of physical setbacks during that time frame. So between surgeries and injuries, and one of my children had a surgery that required a long-term recuperation. So during that time, you know, I've had to sit out and come back. But, you know, depending on how much time you're able to invest and without any physical setbacks, you know, you could theoretically accomplish being a black belt in about 4 years and, you know, have had your second degree. Several people I've started with have their second degree. All three of my kids are working on their second degree as well. But I will progress faster now, hopefully. Hopefully I don't have any more injuries or setbacks or surgeries that will keep me out.
Awesome. Do your kids practice in the same form of martial arts as you, or do they practice another form?
They practice the same. One of my sons wants to do Muay Thai, and so we'll probably start that right now. But right now he's just focusing on getting his second degree in Kuk Su Wan.
awesome. Congratulations to you and your children on keeping up the martial arts going. Now let's move along now to you're a native of Ohio, and another native son of Ohio is LeBron James. And when LeBron's story is truly magnificent, it's truly I would say kind of like represents the real epitome of the American dream. And with that, again, you grew up in Dayton, but he came up in Akron. But we know that Akron is, as you could say, it's a part of a region called the Rust Belt, where there's, you know, it's a factory town and low income areas. But again, his story is just phenomenal. When you found out about LeBron James and his meteoric rise coming from Akron and transitioning from high school to the NBA and what he's done now beyond more than just an athlete. What were your thoughts when you first read up about LeBron and what he's done up until now?
When I first heard of LeBron, first of all, I thought, wow, just phenomenal. I mean, what can you say about a talent like that? It's just, in my opinion, just something that's God-ordained, God-given. That you can't make that. It just kind of happened. So obviously, you know, he practiced and he worked hard, but he came out the gate phenomenal. So it's always exciting when someone from your hometown, although I say hometown in a broad sense, as in Ohio, makes it and is successful. But it's even more exciting when that person comes back, because we know that a lot of people make it, they don't necessarily come back, they don't necessarily give back, they kind of become a presence that people point to and say, yes, they came from here, and then that community never sees them again. That hasn't been the case with LeBron James. He has been very instrumental to his community. He has given back to Akron. I don't know if you're familiar with the I Promise schools and the foundation that he started, but he started an entire school. In fact, hopefully in my job with Central State University, I will get a chance to visit that school at some point in the future. But he's put his money where his mouth is. He hasn't paid lip service to giving back to the community. He's doing it, and he's doing it in big ways, and he's also doing it in ways, you know, the rest of the community doesn't necessarily know about. So kudos to him. I just think that it's and not only that, but he's been a fantastic family man. He's really been a great example to the young people in the community that he's come from, not just as a basketball player, but as a father, as a husband, as a philanthropist. So just I can't give him enough accolades. It's just fantastic.
Absolutely. And again, not just what he's done in the NBA, but as you said, Lena, what he's done just from a societal standpoint with the I Promise Academy, which I think is phenomenal with educating the minds in the Akron area, and then also helping them to go to college and expand into different careers outside of sports. I just want to stay with LBJ for a moment. The Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA title. It was just several years ago. And again, I know that you live in a different part of the state, but just we know Cleveland's been through a lot of heartache, and not just in the sports world, but then also in the societal world. But several years ago, they were on top of the sports world when LeBron James came home and won the NBA title. What were your thoughts when you heard the news that LeBron had finally given Cleveland its first sports championship in such a long time?
Well, we needed it, and I have family in Cleveland, so they were just excited. I have family in Cleveland who are diehard. I know Browns is football, but diehard Browns fans, and for many, many years took a lot of flack. So for, you know, him to do that and to be able to bring that to Cleveland has just been fantastic, because we needed it.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. I mean, Cleveland's been through a lot of heartaches in the sports world, and definitely when LeBron came back to the area and won the title, it definitely put a lot of smiles on the faces of the people in Cleveland. All right, so definitely let's move along to something that you do very well, and you've inspired a lot of people in your own right, as well as a poet and as an author, and doing so many other great things. I want to talk about just some of the latest projects that you have right now. You've written a book called For This Child We Prayed, and it's talked a little bit about infertility in the Black community, something that's not really discussed a lot. Just kind of go into context for the listeners out there about this book that you have called For This Child We Prayed.
Absolutely. So many thousands of years ago, my husband and I struggled with infertility for about 16 years. So 12 of those years we were married. The first four we were engaged in, you know, not that I'm advocating unprotected or anything like that. We just weren't as careful as we should have been. But, you know, we were engaged, we were young. So it was kind of like, if it happens, we're getting married anyway. But then when we got married and we still weren't conceiving, we began to worry, you know. And for several years, we didn't talk about it with anyone. We just kept thinking it will go away. Then when we tried to talk about it, we were in a church. And there's this perception when you're in church and when you're Black that two things. One, Black people don't struggle with infertility. There's this misconception that because we're descendants of slaves, we're just super fertile. We get pregnant, have babies, drop them in the field, and go back to work. So, and then, of course, at that time, I was working with a lot of young people, and people were getting pregnant, like, left and right. Then when we tried to talk about it with the church, it was you just need to pray more. It was just all these misconceptions, or maybe you have some secret sin in your life. Just really craziness, right? So, we finally sought out medical help, and that was the best decision we could have ever made because, you know, we were able to get everything resolved, everything worked out for us, and could have worked out sooner had we just taken that step. So the book is about dispelling those myths in the Christian community, those myths in the Black community, making people, raising awareness that this is a medical issue, you need to get medical treatment. Since the book was published, there has since been another book from infertility, both from a Black and Christian standpoint. There have been a couple other books, but at the time that we wrote and published that one, it was the first to deal with it from those two perspectives. So as part of our ministry, we try to give the book away. If someone wants it and can't afford it, we'll send it to them. It's available for 99 cents on download. If someone wants to purchase to pay full price, we certainly won't stop them. But, you know, we wanted anyone who was going through this to be able to get the book and not have to worry about cost. Because when you're dealing with infertility, you're already dealing with cost because many insurance plans don't cover the cost of infertility treatment. So things are often coming out of people's pockets. We were very blessed and very fortunate that the company my husband worked for at the time covered infertility treatment, so we didn't have to pay a whole astronomical amount of money, and the result was our beautiful three children who are just about grown now.
Yeah, congratulations to you and your husband for raising those three children. And again, we have to talk about things like that in the Black community. Sometimes we kind of keep it under wraps, and, you know, in the church and out of the church as well. It's very important to address things like that and to try to make ways to tackle issues like that and also come up with, you know, with positive and correct alternatives. But, you know, that's great. It's great that you've done that with this particular project. Again, as you said, as a part of your ministry, is an opportunity to, if they can't afford it, you find ways to give them that information on that particular project. So kudos to you on that one. Also, another book that you've written called Jackie's Way, Jackie's Terrible Temper, which is, I guess it's kind of similar to a children's book, but it talks about Jackie being this little girl who had problems managing her anger, which is something that we've seen a lot in our community. And she's bullied by some guys in the neighborhood and going through all sorts of problems. Just kind of go more into detail with the listeners about Jackie's Way.
Absolutely. So in my previous life, I worked as a substance abuse prevention specialist. I had my certification in drug and alcohol abuse with the state of Ohio, and I worked for a lot of youth serving agencies. And so Jackie's Way is the first edition of a 12-book series at some point that will deal with one of 12 potential risk factors that kids face. This particular one actually dealt with two, anger management and bullying, and each book presents in a very fun, I like to think entertaining way, how those risk factors are offset by protective factors. So in Jackie's life, the protective factor was her grandfather. And he, you know, she's finally able to go to him and talk to him about how to resolve some of these issues. But if you know me, then you know Jackie is me. And most of the issues that Jackie's Way will deal with were things that actually happened to me growing up. And so in this particular book, Jackie, who is again me, had anger issues, and she's always getting in fights. And in this particular fight, the person that she was fighting pulls a knife or tries to pull a knife on her. And although she's able to get away, it makes her realize that, oh man, you know what? This is, I need to get some control over this. And so she doesn't feel like she can talk to her parents, as many of us didn't when we were kids. But it's important that we have someone, okay? She has her grandfather. And since you're a sports show, one of the issues that will come up in one of the books will deal with sports and music and all these different things, all centered around, you know, a risk factor and a protective factor. So that's really exciting. And since we're a sports show, I want to get back to this just for a hot second. The relationship between problem resolution, in our case, even as we were dealing with infertility, and the impact that sports can have on giving you resiliency. Because even throughout my life, I've always participated in sports. I've always been athletic, always had a drive, and I feel like competitive sports gives you a drive to want to overcome things. I don't like to lose. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I played sports and was on teams, and you always want to win. And when it came to infertility issues, we never gave up. We never gave up looking for a solution, trying to get the problem resolved. Jackie never gives up trying to get the problems resolved. And even in the books that I've done on poetry, it's all about empowerment, encouraging, resilience, kind of encouraging people, never give up, because life is hard, and we're going to fight for things from the time we're born probably till the time we die. But we have to decide that some things are worth fighting for and never give up.
Amen to that. And again, you put out some great points in that, not just with sports, but also just a lot of other things as well, you know, with music and a lot of those things. And as you said, it helped you want to reach for something better. And it definitely, that's what helped. It helped me a lot, as helped me out throughout my life as well. And it's helped a lot of people out. And then what you did with this great book that you've written, Jackie's Way, it really helped her get to where she needed to be and helping to get you where you needed to be as well. So it's definitely some great points that you mentioned right there, just the power of not just sports, but just even, you can, as I said earlier, music or any type of extracurricular activities. It makes you want to strive for something better, and it's definitely helped you out in mm-hmm. what you've done and, you know, your multiple careers that you've done in life and what you're currently doing. And a piece that I played at the beginning of the interview was a poem that you did, and you're also a great poet as well. You have a book out called Strong Black Coffee, Poetry and Prose to Enlighten, Encourage, and Entertain Americans of African Descent. And this is very a deep book right here. Just tell the listeners about Strong Black Coffee.
So Strong Black Coffee is, it kind of starts out with talking about, I shouldn't say kind of, it does, our unique, what's the word I'm looking for? Our unique heritage and culture as Black Americans, right? We've gone by many names since, you know, slavery has ended, and we've been called many things, from color to Negro to, you know, back to colored at some point, African American, Americans of African descent, American descendants of slaves, just you name it. A lot of that comes from, as I talk about in the book, our struggle to live as bastard children in a nation that never wanted us. So we're constantly trying to figure out who we are and seek our identity. And what I wanted to affirm to us in America that we have a unique identity that is a result of all of that, and we should embrace that. We need to embrace who we are as Black people in America. We need to make sure that that embracing is beyond color, because, you know, we range from so many different colors, and those different colors has often divided us. And that was, of course, we know that was created by the enslavers to, you know, keep us from being tight, from being a united front. And we need to come back to that. And I said Americans of African descent, because when you put African first, the implication is that we are Africans first, and that we don't belong to this nation. And I'm like, no, we're Americans. We may have descended from Africans, and now we're finding that we not only descended from Africans, many of us descended from the indigenous people here as well. So, but our identity is first Americans, and we need to know that, because if we keep saying that we identify with another country first, we won't understand and we won't fight for the rights that are due to us as citizens of this country. And so that's what it's about. And then, of course, many of the poems and prose pieces deal with our unique challenges of living in this United States, and also the challenges we present to ourselves as a community, things we can't blame the white man for, things we have to take ownership of and reject. And then in the end, I end every book with my signature poem, The Finish, because it's just a reminder, it's not about where you started, it's where you finish.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's fantastic, right? This is really a metaphor for life. It's not about how you start, but it's how you finish. And definitely that's been just kind of like our unique experience, as you mentioned, with people of African descent. And again, go make sure you check that out, Strong Black Coffee. And another piece that you've written, Lena, is In the Absence of My Father. And in this book, again, it's another poet. You unleash your poetic side in this book with you talk about what happens when a father is absent in the life of a young woman. And we talk so much about fathers having a profound impact in the lives of their children, but we also talk about how not having a father around is detrimental to young men, but we really don't delve deep too much into how the importance of a father is in the life of a young woman. Can you go more into detail about In the Absence of My Father?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I just have to acknowledge my husband for writing, not for me having written that book, I should say. That came about, he was watching a show and some poet had gotten a Nobel Prize, and he said, you can get a Nobel Prize, your poetry is phenomenal. So I set about to try to write a book and be very, even more intentional about it. And so each poem in the book follows a particular poetic style, but I also wanted it to be impactful. And so it came about, I was watching Oprah Winfrey's show one day, and she was doing a show about fathers not taking care of their kids. And there was a particular young man on the show, and his mother was very upset because his mother and the girlfriend were very upset because he refused to take any responsibility for his kids, not even be part of their lives, not be present, not pay any money. And they were just crying. And he turned to his mom and said, I don't know what you're crying for. He said, those kids will be fine without me. You spent my whole life telling me you didn't need a man. You don't need my daddy. The only thing you need a man for is to have sex. And I turned out fine, and they'll turn out fine without me. Obviously, he did not turn out fine because he didn't take care of his kids. But the mom just started crying even more. She said, oh, my God, he's right. It's my fault. I did say those things. And that's what the book is about, to, despite the title, it's to affirm men of their importance. It's to make them or help them understand, despite what messages the world has sent you, you are vital, you are important in the lives of your children. Obviously, as you said, vital in the lives of their sons, but just as vital in the lives of their daughters, because when the father's not around to teach a young lady how she should be expected to be treated by a man, when he's not around to give her love, She's going to go out and she's going to look for it in all the wrong places. She's going to make all these mistakes. Now, of course, there are people who are anomalies. They don't necessarily make those mistakes. But by and large, no matter how successful we become in life, we are impacted negatively when our fathers are not around. And in my case, even though I'm married, I've been married for 30 years, but that doesn't mean I didn't have baggage when I came into this, because my father rejected his family, neglected his family, and chose to raise a whole nother family. And that doesn't mean that I still didn't have to, I sometimes kind of jokingly say, I don't know why my husband stayed with me this long. Because I was a mess. It's so important. And I had a conversation with my father about a year ago. And he said to me, and I got angry and I kind of went off on him a little bit. He said, I knew you would be fine. I knew you would be fine. And I said, I don't know if you're on regular radio, this blog talk, I can probably say the cuss words, but I won't. Because I kind of went off on him and said, what do you mean? I wasn't fine. Just because you didn't see the damage doesn't mean it didn't occur. Right. And just because you didn't see the healing process doesn't mean the healing process didn't take place. And just because you don't see the scars doesn't mean they're not there.
Yep. It's important. I mean, just because sometimes I guess people sometimes can kind of go by like what they see. And again, as you said, you thought you would turn out just fine, but you didn't see what was going on the inside. See, people don't see what's going on internally in a person. They just see the external stuff. Oh, well, you know, she's successful. She's writing books and doing this, and she's educated and that and this, that, and the third. But sometimes you have to delve deep really into a person and find out what's going on internally. And this is definitely something that people can a lot of people can relate to, and they'll definitely have an opportunity to pick it up. Again, it's in the absence of my father. And let me just say that you've done well. You've done very well with what you've done in your life, and just continuing to try to be an inspiration and a motivation despite of what happened to you and the, you know, your upbringing with your dad. So kudos to you on that as well. And not just with what you do as an author, but also you've delved into the music world as well. Tell the listeners out there about some singles that you have available out now.
Big Leg Woman.
Okay.
It's a country song. I kind of have fun with that one. So, you know, growing up, I would be considered, they used to say big boned. I don't know what they say now, but I was big boned. And so okay. That song, again, is kind of like an embracing song. That's my personal theme song. So now I have it on my phone when I walk into a room at work or different places. I press play and walk into a room so everybody knows I'm coming when they hear Big Leg Woman.
Okay.
Yeah, that's available for download on CD Baby. You can listen to it free on YouTube. Just type in Big Leg Woman, Lena Fields Arnold. And, I had a lot of fun.
All right. Well, that's awesome to hear. And it sounds like I had a lot of fun with that one. So, Lena, before we let you go, tell everybody where they can find you on social media. If you have any websites, let them know that as well. And tell everybody where they can find the books, the songs, as well as the poems and any other thing that you like to plug. You're allowed to do that.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, website lenafieldsarnold.com. You can find me on Instagram at Lena Fields Arnold, and also official Lena Fields Arnold on Instagram. YouTube, if you type in Emperor Publishing, which is the name of the company, you can find me, or if just type in Lena Fields Arnold and the name of one of my poems, like That Kind of Black or A Diva Made by Design. And I'm trying to think. Books, where you can find them. Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, anywhere books are sold. I also have a blog, Stuff Inside My Head. But probably LenaFieldsArnold.com will generally take you just about everywhere.
Awesome to hear. Now, again, before we let you go, you are a native of Dayton, Ohio, and we know that Dayton has been known for a long time for its music, and it's known, as they say, unofficially, it's known as the funk music capital of the world. Were you influenced by the funk music that came out of Dayton during that time, and have you been to the museum yet?
Oh, my gosh, was I influenced? Absolutely. Coming of age at the time that I did, I was very fortunate to be privy to most of the time hearing the music first. It was played on the radio station WDAO. Turk Logan was one of the people who would play the music first. So, oh my gosh, Slave, Lakeside, Heat Wave, the Ohio Players, you know, all of those people were from here, and one of the groups, Dayton, I actually went to high school with a member of that group, and wow, yeah, it's just Dayton was known, is still known the world over for, you know, all of the fantastic bands that came from here, Zapp, Roger Troutman. I mean, I just could go on and on. So absolutely, I was totally influenced, going to the skating rink, skating to that music, and everybody just listening to it. So it's, yeah, I think that was a time in history that was magical, and I don't know that it will ever be repeated, ever.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to stay with musical cities just for a moment. You know, there's Detroit, there's Chicago, there's Memphis, there's New Orleans, there's Kansas City, there's Atlanta, and there's New York City. What made Dayton so special when it came to this music? What do you think, what was the reason for all this great music to come out of Dayton?
I think one of the things that made it so special is it was so unique. At the time that it came out, it was unique. It was refreshing. The radio stations at that time, I think also what helped so much was that the radio stations here embraced the musicians. And back then, local bands could get their music played. That is not necessarily the case anymore. And I think that's one of the reasons why you won't see the magic and having those cities like that anymore, because even as those other cities, as you mentioned, particularly at the time when those formats came about, the radio stations weren't owned by big conglomerates like they are today. So a local band could take their tape to the local station and get airplay, and especially if it was good. And they encouraged that, and they encouraged the local bands, and that encouragement just bred more and more creativity. And also, I think back then in Dayton, as well as other cities, you had schools that had very strong music programs, schools that had big bands, and the young people that came out of those schools wanted to expand beyond high school. They had all this talent, and they said, what are we going to do with it? And so they would go in their garage and put together a band and all this fantastic music, and they all would go to each other's, you know, garages and pick up stuff, and that's what spread it. And then they could go to the radio station and get airplay, and boom. That just doesn't happen anymore.
You're absolutely right about that. And really, what was the hook, line, and sinker in that was the Telecommunications Act of 1996, where, as you mentioned, it deregulated all the radio stations, and you had these big corporations and conglomerates taking over. But, you know, I would say that there are two saving graces to this. There's college radio, and then there's the Internet. So, and, you know, you can make music, you can create new things. So if there's anything that could possibly, you know, rekindle or what has continued to resurrect real good music, that's the Internet, because the Internet, you know, you can find just about anything and everything, including great music. But, Lena, thank you so much. And, again, one more time, website and where they can find you on social media.
LenaFieldsArnold.com and official LenaFieldsArnold on Instagram. And thank you so much for having me. This has been wonderful. I have enjoyed this, so I appreciate you so much for allowing me to be a part of your show.
Thank you so much. It was great. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. And again, she's Lena Fields Arnold. She's an award-winning poet, author, a songwriter, and motivational speaker. And also, she's a first-degree black belt in the martial arts. And she's just giving us a little glimpse into her life and also the great projects that she has, and some stuff that she's released. So check her out. Lena, thank you so much again. If you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Thank you. Absolutely. And one more thing I just want to shout out.
Absolutely. Again, a big thank you to Upscale PR as well and Leslie Logan as well. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. And remember, put God first in everything you do and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. We're out of here. Peace. And we're going to leave it with Lena Fields Arnold with a poem called That Kind of Black. Thanks again, Lena.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that Kamala Harris. I'll take cream in my coffee, please, kind of black. That Coretta Scott King, I have a dream black. That Cicely Tyson, blazing new paths for actresses black. That Pam Grier, I bust a cap in your ass black. I'm that Michelle Obama, standing strong and tall. I know I'm looking good kind of black. That Lauryn Hill and Queen Latifah, spitting fire from the hood kind of black. I'm that Nina Simone, Sade, Josephine Baker, Sarah Vaughn, sweet sound of jazz black. That Janet Jackson, curvy, beautiful brown, dancing my ass off black. That Nikki Giovanni, poem for a lady whose voice I like black. That faceless warrior holding up Black Lives Matter signs on the turnpike black. If you know me, then you know I'm that Angela Davis, braving bullets fighting for civil rights black. That Layla Ali in the ring willing to fight black. That Madam C.J. Walker, laying it down, flicking it back kind of black. That Macy Gray and Erykah Badu, big-ass Afro black. I'm that Oprah Winfrey, making that change black. That Winnie Mandela, making a change black. I'm that Harriet Tubman, I'ma take my freedom any way I can black. That Sojourner Truth, ain't I a woman black? That Sister Rosetta Tharpe, showing the white folk how to make it rain black. That Bernice Armour flying the hell out of that military plane black. I'm that sister whose shoulder you lean on for strength black. That auntie that said I love you and meant that shit black. I'm that mama holding you close to my bosom black. That whoever your favorite black woman is black. So, here's to all my sisters of varying hues. To all my sovereigns singing the blues. To my black blacks, my light blacks, all the royal in-between blacks, to all the sheroes who've forgotten their queens black. You are silver. You are gold. You are platinum black. Handcrafted and exclusively made by God. Never forget that. So rock your royalty, girl. Go ahead, lead the pack. Blaze new paths for women. Burn up the track. And let them someday say of you, yeah, I'm that kind of black.
If you've got a personal auto insurance question, you could talk to a cab driver, although the policies he recommends might include avoiding the interstate, beating traffic by taking the back roads, and only making left turns when absolutely necessary. Or you could talk to your local GEICO agent, whose policy is to use their expertise to navigate your insurance, finding the best route to help you save money on insurance for your home, car, and more. And as an added bonus, you'll be able to avoid traffic jams and potholes entirely. To find a GEICO agent near you, visit geico.com/local.
If we go to page 11 in the presentation, you'll see that you'll see we're on target to meet our quarterly.
Some things never change, like nobody can resist popping plastic bubbles and GEICO saving folks lots of money on their car insurance.
As I was saying, we're on target to meet. Excuse me, Miss Hansen.
Sorry, almost done.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor. In life, there's no stopping.
Don't stop.
But if you do, make sure no one is behind you.
All clear.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents basic policies starting at $79 a year. Progressive Motorcycle, for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy is not available in all states.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again. That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
You never really stop riding in your mind. Unless you're thinking of something else.
Like other thoughts.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle, for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
Ride confidently in the direction of your dream. Unless it's a bad dream, then turn around.
Go the other way.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents basic policy starting at $79 a year. Progressive Motorcycle, for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy is not available in all states.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Koontz. It's the back left tire of your RV calling. Wanted to give you a heads up that I'm going to blow out on the highway later today.
Wait, what?
Says here I'm going to burst in the middle of rush hour.
Well, can we reschedule?
Sorry, our policy states that once we're scheduled to burst, we have to. We really pride ourselves on our commitment to blowouts.
RV owners can't schedule when things go wrong on the road. That's why there's Progressive, a leader in RV insurance.
You want a text confirmation when I burst?
Think I'll notice.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hi, I'm calling on behalf of the Mice Nest.
Mice Nest?
Yes, Mice Nest. It's a nest of mice. They finished chewing through your RV wiring, so the fire should start soon.
Can we cancel that?
Oh, sorry. Once scheduled, they can't really stop because they're mice. A nest of them.
RV owners can't schedule when things go wrong on the road. That's why there's Progressive, a leader in RV insurance.
Oh, and if you could stay on the line for a quick survey.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The sweet aromas of the apple fritter, cinnamon roll, and blueberry muffin are hard to resist. So making it home without reaching into the McDonald's bag is no easy task. Make it easier by ordering ahead on the McDonald's app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Mobile order and pay participating McDonald's.
If you've got a personal auto insurance question, you could talk to a cab driver. Although the policies he recommends might include avoiding the interstate, beating traffic by taking the back roads, and only making left turns when absolutely necessary. Or you could talk to your local Geico agent, whose policy is to use their expertise to navigate your insurance, finding the best route to help you save money on insurance for your home, car, and more. And as an added bonus, you'll be able to avoid traffic jams and potholes entirely. To find a Geico agent near you, visit geico.com/local.
If we go to page 11 in the presentation, you'll see that you'll see we're on target to meet our quarterly.
Some things never change, like nobody can resist popping plastic bubbles. And Geico saving folks lots of money on their car insurance.
As I was saying, we're on target to meet. Excuse me, Miss Hansen.
Sorry, almost done.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Progressive Motorcycle presents
Road Wisdom from the Motor.
If you missed a turn, there's always another turn. Take it to get back to the turn you missed.
Use your turn signal.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle, for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.